Moncrief on News Talk.
Some good news, though, now, thanks to Bridget. We can all look forward to a long weekend, during which the many incarnations of Bridgetness will be celebrated at EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum. They will be staging the Rebels and Revolutionaries Women's History Tour. Catherine Healy is historian in residence at EPIC. Catherine, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Now, on the point of Bridget, like, who was she? In that, you know, people might kind of out of habit say Saint Bridget, but it seems like there were lots of Bridgets.
There were. I mean, the Saint Bridget, who the day is primarily named after, was born in County Louth. She went on to establish Ireland's first convent in Kildare. It went on to become a community both for nuns and monks. It became one of the most important religious communities in Ireland, and she is, of course, one of our patron saints here in Ireland. But there is also an earlier Bridget, a pagan Bridget, who is also has also been celebrated on February 1st. She was a goddess of poetry and of creativity. So I suppose the two figures have kind of melded together over the last few centuries as a result.
Yeah, and well, does one... does the Saint Bridget owe something to the pagan Bridget to an extent?
No, I mean, some of the customs, I suppose, that have sprung up around Saint Bridget, they can be traced back to some of the stories around the earlier Bridget. But there is written documentation of Saint Bridget's life, and you know, a decent amount of source material on the work that she undertook.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, what's happening in EPIC is more, well, obviously, St. Bridget will be mentioned there, but it'll be lots of Irish women. And one, I must say, until today, I didn't know she was Irish, was Mother Jones. People might be familiar with the magazine Mother Jones, but that refers to a real person, and she was a Cork woman.
That's right. Yeah. Mother Jones was born in Cork in the 1830s. She moved to North America as a young girl, we think, probably during the Great Famine. And she had, quite a difficult few years in the US. She lost her husband and their four young children to a yellow fever epidemic and ended up starting a new life for herself then as a dressmaker in Chicago, and she became one of the most fearless American labor organizers of her day. She led numerous strikes, particularly working with workers across the coal fields of Pennsylvania, with textile mill women workers. She famously set off in 1903 on a 3-week march to President Roosevelt's private home in Long Island, all the way from Philadelphia, along with hundreds of protesters to highlight the scourge of child labor. So she was a real trailblazer. And was famously once dubbed the most dangerous woman in America. So we were very glad to be able to highlight her as part of the tour.
And why did she get the name Mother Jones?
That was she was regarded as a mother figure to many in the labor movement. As I mentioned, she lost her children when they were young, and she was known, I suppose, for having quite a maternal outlook, and she did a lot of work on behalf of children and led a lot of strikes involving child labourers. So she became, I suppose, a maternal figure to many of the workers that she engaged with.
Right. OK, so Annie Besant, tell us about her. There's in Irish history, there seems to be, I don't know if it's more common in Irish history or not, but like a rather kind of dreamy slash revolutionary people.
Yeah, I mean, Annie Besant, she was born to Irish parents in London, but she did a lot of work on behalf of Ireland and Irish independence too. But her primary work was in India. She became the first female president of the Indian National Congress which was a really important political movement that sought independence from Britain in the early 20th century. She moved to India initially because of her involvement in a spiritual movement called the Theosophical Society. But she became drawn into then the struggle for Indian independence and became one of the leading voices for the Indian struggle against the British in that time.
And your favourite would be Eva Gore Booth. Why?
Yeah, Eva Gore Booth is an interesting figure. Most people would know her as a sister to Countess Markievicz, who of course fought in the Easter Rising. They were raised, you know, in pretty privileged circumstances in Lissadell House in Sligo. But she went on to become, again, a really important trade unionist in England and a fighter for women's suffrage. She lived for most of her time there with a woman called Esther Roper. They were in a relationship and they worked together on a lot of campaigns, particularly around the rights of working women. They organised female trade unions, including one for barmaids, remarkably. Mm. So there were attempts at the time being made to curtail the employment of women in public houses or in pubs. So Eva and Esther organised a trade union and one of their main causes was to campaign against this proposed legislation, and it was eventually scrapped. So they're really, you know, determined to stand up for the right to women to have that economic independence and to forge their own lives outside the home.
Now, and it should be pointed out that her just doesn't feature kind of famous people, like ordinary women figure in this as well.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, Ireland is unusual in some respects because it sent out particularly in the decades after the famine, it sent out a roughly equal number of men and women, whereas in a lot of other European countries, it would have been, you know, primarily the young single men who were sent out to earn a living. But a lot of young Irish women, particularly, you know, went to America and took up work in middle class homes as servants, and they were providing a lot of the money that came back to Ireland and kept communities going, allowed families to pay their rent and then to send more children across the Atlantic or indeed across to Britain. So that they made really important contributions and are very often, you know, overlooked in the conversations that we have around Irish emigration.
Indeed. Catherine, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Catherine Healy there, historian in residence at Epic Museum.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.